yeah, good morning. This is the Friday morning here on NBC Media's Sports Channel. This is Sports Talk Over Coffee. This is Andrea and Couch of the Couch. Some of our hardest working man in sports radio coming to you live here on a Friday morning. Good morning, everybody. Not sure if we're going to get Andrea. On Monday, we try to do a show, you know, Monday and Friday. I got home way too late on Monday and left Andrea a message, so I don't even know if she did a show or not or what that situation is. So apologize for not being here on Monday, but sometimes work overloads what we do here on a regular basis. So just wanted to let you know that I was, you know, thinking of you guys while I was sleeping at that time. But then again, it is spring break. Kids are out of school. So I'm usually up and going, and that's usually not a problem because I got to get my kids ready for school. But that did not happen at all. As well, but I just happened to be up today. Luck of the Irish, it's Sunday, is St. Patrick's Day. And on the Couch Potato Sports Show, we're going to be bringing you coverage of the Texas Revolution taking on the Chicago Slaughter in Chicago. We're going to be bringing you that game on the Couch Potato Sports Show Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Now, some good news tonight on the Couch Potato Sports Show. If you're looking for a football fix, head on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show for the Nebraska Danger. They're on the road taking on the Tri-Cities Fever in indoor football league play. So we're bringing you the play-by-play of that league as much as we can, but we do bring you every week at least the Texas Revolution when they're not on a bye. But we're going to be doing more of the IFL and bringing you games, making you aware what's going on in IFL. We are the Couch Potato Sports Show is that Band-Aid that gets you from the Super Bowl to training camp, and that's what we are going to be doing here. So a lot of things going on, and you know, until we get Andrea in here, if and when she gets in here, we're going to be talking a little bit of football because there's a lot of movement going around on football. I haven't had time to talk to Cuervo about my co-host on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Just been so busy. So we're going to take advantage of the fact that, guess what? There's football news. So, and normally in the time in spring where we're talking about spring training and baseball players, I'm going to leave that up to Andrea. If and when she gets in, we'll get into some baseball talk if and when she gets in. But as of right now, I mean, let's talk some football because I want to tell you, I'm going to go back. I mean, I'm going to go back to the 12th, and I'm going to talk about Tuesday because there's been a lot of stuff that has been going on as far as teams in the NFL, what they're doing and who they're paying. And here's the thing. It's called Get Paid. It's the get paid time of the year. And what I'm talking about is the fact that a lot of players are going to be getting paid because they got the franchise tag thrown on them, or they had some people sign them. And that's huge. So we can talk about, let's talk about some of the news that's going on. The Falcons, they retain Baker. Now, you know, one thing that you got to understand about Baker, though, Baker is one of these guys. By the way, Sam Baker, 6-year contract on Tuesday. Matt Ryan's going to have that guy, okay, that protects him, and he stays there. I mean, this guy's only allowed 3.5 sacks in his career. And that's in 59 games in 5 seasons. 3.5 sacks. I'm going to tell you, he is one of those guys that makes a difference for your quarterback. And how about this? This year, this past season, was not whistled for a false start or holding call in all 16 games. I mean, that's first of all, that's quality. And second of all, it protects your quarterback. Oh, hell yeah. That's the kind of guy that you need on your football team. And Atlanta, they are a team that needs those kind of players. Protect your quarterback, because that seems to be the problem, getting over the hump. Will Matt Ryan ever get over the hump? We don't know, but signing that guy is going to help. But they also make another signing yesterday, the Atlanta Falcons do. Okay. And they signed Steven Jackson, okay, the 8-time 1,000-yard rusher, and a 3-year contract on Thursday that was signed up. Now, Jackson is one of these consistent guys, but here's one of the things that worries me about Steven Jackson. His age. Now, he's 30. Now, you know, he's not on the wrong side of 30. He's not on the right side of 30. He's at 30. So the question is this guy done? 8 consecutive years of rushing over 1,000 yards. He's averaged 4.2 yards. I mean, those are good career numbers. Last year, he also caught 38 passes out of the backfield. Now, Jackson wanted to go to a contender. He wanted to be able to play in the playoffs. I mean, this guy's been in St. Louis forever. What does that tell you about St. Louis? And that's just one of the things that tells me. I mean, he is opting out of the final year of his contract, and he wanted to land a spot on a playoff contending team. And when you're the Atlanta Falcons and you've got the weapons that they do, you know, Jackson's not the worst signing in the world for that football team. Jackson's got a lot. I don't know if he's got a lot left on his legs. I don't know if he's going to be able to continue, you know, going and doing what he's doing, go for a 9th consecutive year of 1,000 yards or more. I don't know. But what I do know is that when you get that kind of quality player, you're telling your fans that you want to win. And I think that's my theme whenever I look at signings right now. What are you telling your fans about your situation as a franchise? Because there are a lot of franchises out there, let's be honest, there are a lot of franchises out there that leave a lot less to be desired. I mean, I can use the Arizona Cardinals as an example every single time. And I don't know. More NFL news. Let's continue because the signings have been hot. They have been heavy. The Cleveland Browns, let's go to them. Chris, and I'm not even going to destroy this guy's last name, but here's what I know about this guy. For the past 2 seasons with the Browns, he had 420 yards. Okay, this is a running back, Chris Agbaniya, I think is how you say his name. But the only problem is that this is one of those blocking, you know, type of running backs. He's one of those guys. But, you know, last 2 years, 47 receptions out of the backfield for him. Here's what I will say. He's a young cat, and he doesn't have a lot of miles on him. He's 4 years from 30. Nowhere near the amount of tread has come off the tire, so to speak, as maybe a Steven Jackson. So they're hoping, and I think that that's what the situation is that they're hoping that he becomes the guy that they can depend upon. And also the Browns, they go ahead, they sign tight end Gary Barnage. So that was more of a kind of thing as far as your coaching is going on. So that's the deal there. You know, they grab him up. And This is a Carolina boy. Now, Carolina, for some reason, gets rid of tight ends all the time. I mean, they've had some good tight ends out there, and they're just not even capable of doing. Looking at the chat room, welcome into the chat room. You want to get on online, you're more than welcome to. 347-637-2306. Talking about some of the signings in the NFL that are going on. And, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to some of these teams that go out and make it. Like I said, Steven Jackson's with the Falcons. That is a big pickup for this team. Although, Jackson, I'm worried about the tread that's on that left that's on the tire there. So that's going to be huge. Colts bring back cornerback. And the Colts need all the help they really can. They need to maintain what they've been doing. So they go ahead and they bring back Darius Butler. I think that's a good move for this team. It's a new contract. Indianapolis has got a lot of positives going on for the football team there. You also got to take a look at a guy that he can go in. This guy's a ball hawk. Darius Butler is one of these players that make you a better football team as you go on, each and every year. And he's the kind of player that does it. So the Colts, they signed defensive tackle Ricky Jean Francis. And they also, when they brought back Butler, they got a combined working to keep that defense where it was. Ravens relieves, the Ravens, they've been doing a lot of stuff. But they released Bernard Pollard. He's a safety for this football team. But they also bring back James Agabilio and Chris Johnson. And they signed those guys to one-year deals. Pollard, 2 seasons with the Ravens, 29 games, 26 starts, led Baltimore with 98 tackles there in 2012, and they let the guy go. Interesting situation. In the playoffs, 17 tackles, 4 passes deflected. And a forced fumble. The guy's quality. He's a good football player. And the Ravens decide to let this guy go. Now, the Ravens have got some other problems as well. They bring in Chris Canty out of New York. Who, before New York, he was sitting right here in Dallas. So the question is if you're the Ravens, you're obviously looking at defense. You're taking care of the defensive side of the ball. You got Joe Flacco signed. So you better do something with him. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Now, the Seahawks, they bring in defensive. And this was a move that I really thought was going to be good for the Seahawks. We'll talk about the Seahawks as we get closer to the season. But Cliff Avril, multi-year contract for the Seattle Seahawks. Last year he had 35 tackles, 9.5 sacks in 16 games. 162 tackles, 39.5 sacks in 16 forced fumbles in 73 games. You tell me. Seems like Seattle is looking on the defensive side of the ball to make sure their defense can be lined up and ready to go. And there's going to be some other moves that are going to be helping that defense as they go. The Vikings, they go out and grab the worst starting quarterback ever. However, and I say starting quarterback, we're going to find out what this guy, this guy is, there's no question the guy's a backup quarterback. He's going to get back into his role. So the less we hear about him, the better in reality. And if he can go in and lead the team 2 or 3 games, possibly 4, depending on injuries to Christian Ponder, this is a right pickup. That's the kind of quarterback this guy is. So you know, Castle had 2 years left on a big contract, but he still brought in $43 million of the $63 million contract that he signed with the Chiefs that he's been stealing, getting paid for the last 3 years. Matt Castle is a Viking. That's exactly what he needed to do. He needed to go to the backup role, accept his role, and be fine with it. And I think it's a good move. I do. I think it's something that is going to put him in a position of, you know, a little bit of a humbling situation up there, as he's not the starter and he knows it. It's good. The Redskins, they signed offensive. Oh, my goodness. I like this guy. True Blood has been one of these guys that, when you look at it, Jeremy Trueblood has put, this guy's 6'8", he's 320 pounds, but here's the thing. Usually when I think of about a 6'8" guy, I'm thinking about 340, 350. He's a little on the lighter side. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they decide to get rid of him more so because of the contract. He was going to demand a lot of money on the contract. 101 regular season games, and of those, 84 of them he started. So the Redskins, they got a lot of work to do, and signing True Blood is only going to protect their running quarterback, which is what they need to do, without question. You can't continue to have RG3 be that guy that goes out and runs and runs and runs and runs. So as soon as all those things get done, and as soon as, you know, he gets hit a couple of times, as soon as the guy decides to become the pocket passer that he's going to need to be, it's going to be huge for this team. Now, in a move that's shocking but not shocking, I mean, because they were trying to get rid of Wes Welker last year in New England anyway. I mean, hell, they sat him for the first, four games or so. So going from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another goes Wes Welker. The guy's the smartest guy in the world. Letting that happen. Wes Welker has been, I made the prediction of look out for Wes Welker for an MVP candidate. Fourth in voting. He's never going to get it, but this is a guy that, you know, he's all about the yakety yak, yak, yak. At least 111 catches and 1,165 yards in 5 seasons. You can't ask for anything else. And he became the Patriots all-time reception leader last year. 7,459 yards, 37 touchdowns, and just only 93 regular season football games for the Patriots. Now, granted, is that because he's had a veteran, a future Hall of Fame quarterback in there? Hell yeah. That's the only reason why. This is, you know, Wes Welker has been the guy. He is what, you know, Tom Brady and him. Now, I don't know what this means for Tom Brady. That's one of the main things I wanted to talk about today. You're listening to Sports Talk Over Coffee with Andrea and Couch. Got my coffee here, but no Andrea, but that's okay. We'll keep it on football and continue talking about what this means for this football team. These signings, it has been absolutely nutty. And when those signings go on, you know, and the franchise tags get put down and all this other stuff. And you know, I always wonder what it's going to be when teams sign new players to their squad and how they'll mesh with the team that's already there. So why not Wes Welker go over to Denver? Why not? It's huge. Now, in other news in Denver, and this is not the thing that you do. See, one thing about John Elway, and I like Elway, okay? I always liked him as a player. I always thought this is a guy that probably should have more rings than he does, and he's got a few. But one thing about Elway sometimes tells me that even though he's a businessman, sometimes you just got to learn to shut up. And what's going on, there is a situation with Elvis Dumervil that he may not be in Denver by the end of this day. He's scheduled to make He's already going to make a lot of money. Dumervil's 2013 salary of $12 million becomes guaranteed at 4 p.m. today. And right now, Dumervil faces the facts that they possibly are going to release him unless he restructures the contract. And my question to Dumervil is, do you really want to do that? Now, folks, I got a situation here. I am going to go ahead and I'm going to put on a file. I got my garbage guy here. So I'm going to bring this out and throw up a file that I want you to listen to just for a few minutes until I can get back here. Let's talk about the situation of in a file I got sitting right here. Josh Beckett. This was a couple years back. Take a listen to this, and I'll be right back.
When he was young, he pitched oh so wonderfully, incredibly. What a sight to see the mastery. When he beat the Yankees and he won the World Series, I became a fan. I joined the Beckett clan, he's the man,
he's the man.
Then they shipped him up here for prospects and lots of dough. Fans that are in the know, fans of Gresham, so yes, Gresham, so. Then they opened their hearts and they cheered for you every game. We all yelled your name, your future Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame. There are rules. They don't belong. That's why I wrote this song. You're such an American fool. It's so clear about the chicken and beer. It's that loud booing you hear. And it's so way overdue.
Back here in the Sports Talk Over Coffee, garbage guy was coming, guys. Missed him, so you didn't have to listen to too much more of that, Josh Beckett, a couple years ago. Anyway, back here talking about the NFL and talking about a little bit about what's going on over in Denver. Elvis Dumervil, I think I go because I think he could get the money that he's going to want or somewhat more somewhere else. 11 sacks last season. And Dumervil had 17 sacks. The 1-2 punch that is that defensive, you know, defense that's there. I think they hurt if they lose Dumervil. Now, granted, some people don't think he is what others are, but I think if there was, you know, if Dumervil was the only one in there and Von Miller wasn't in there, he'd be a big star too. You know, Peyton Manning already. You know, you take a look. It's just all about money that's going to be going on over in Denver with Peyton Manning. He's going to make $20 million. Dumervil will play at the current number that he has now. But when you think about what Elvis Dumervil, he signed a six-year, $61.5 million contract in 2010 when Josh McDaniels was coaching that team. Now, granted, John Elway was not a part of that. But sometimes when you take over a team, you take over the team. And that's one of the guys that you're going to have to deal with. And I think Dumervil is a good player. But if I'm Dumervil, you know what I think I do? I think I go ahead and let him release me. You can say what you want. Dwight Freeney's going to be out there. If they lose him, that's fine. Dwight Freeney's out there. There's a couple other defensive ends that could be available for this team. But I think they're in the same boat, though, as far as how much they're going to pay these players. So Denver, I think, is a team that's such a good football team, but they've got so many problems with personnel because of who John Elway is, that he gets so far into talking about some of these players as if he can just go ahead and go on without some of them. And that's, I understand that about ownership, but sometimes you got to go ahead and hold on to what you got going on. Talk about the Oakland Raiders, folks, because this is one of these things. I went ahead on my Facebook and I put up something that I was about once a day. I'll throw something sports related up on my Facebook to see what comments that I could get out of them and things. But a couple of days ago, I'm talking about the lowly, and I'm talking about the lowly Oakland Raiders. This is a franchise that is in a lot of trouble, and it's a franchise that needs to do a lot of work in order to maintain what they're going to be able to do this year. One of them was all about their quarterback position, and that's a lot of things are going to happen today. And one of them, we're going to probably find out about Carson Palmer, whether or not that he stays in Oakland. I mean, this dude is due to make $13 million, and if you're the Oakland Raiders, are you really interested in signing that contract or keeping that contract going? I mean, when you think about it, see, now the Oakland, they need to hire me and let me find you a quarterback. And I already, and I called this before it happened, and folks, I'm telling you, I didn't have any inside sources. It's just something that is inside me that tells me that there's a lot of things that are going on in Oakland. But you can talk about the mistakes that were made. You can talk about whether or not Carson Palmer should have been part of this team. You can talk about the money that was spent on him in order to get him there. And you can question whether or not that this guy was worth the money at the time that they signed him. And you would have valid points. But at the time they signed Carson Palmer, they needed something. And frankly, they threw him in too early before he could get into football shape, and he never recovered from it. Now, I don't want anybody here to think that I'm a Carson Palmer fan. I'm not. But at that time, the Raiders, they gave up the house for this guy. But it's time to move on. I mean, and that's obvious. And paying him another $13 million, never mind losing all the draft picks that you lost in order to grab him up and all this other stuff, you've got to be careful. They gave him a lot of money. But really, at the time, there wasn't really anyone else out there that had the credentials that a Carson Palmer had. They rolled the dice, and they obviously crapped out. And for two seasons, Carson Palmer has been, that clown song. That's what it's been in Oakland, at quarterback. And for two seasons, even those rookies, even the ones that went later in the, as far as last year in the draft, they played well. That's what's going on over in Oakland. He's not at the level as even those rookies coming out of college. And here's another thing. If they decide to go with Pryor, they are telling the Raider fans they don't have a clue. And they don't. But that's the kind of move that I think can end up happening here. But when you look at the draft this year, there is absolutely no one that stands out and says, oh, I've got to have that guy. And that is going to be the situation with this football team. Carson Palmer will probably be released today, and the Arizona Cardinals are foaming at the mouth to get him, which tells you that the Arizona Cardinals have no clue. The however in that, though, Carson Palmer was running for his life. You want to talk about a bad offensive line over in Oakland? Well, just wait until Carson Palmer gets down to Arizona if they sign him up. You want to talk about bad offensive lines? It don't get any worse than what you're getting a look at in Arizona. So if Carson Palmer thought that the running days would be over if he went to Arizona, no, they're just beginning. But here's the thing. The Oakland Raiders, what they're going to have to do is they are going to have to go in the draft. They're going to have to draft a quarterback late and maybe have something go on. But here's one of the things. The Oakland Raiders don't have a quarterback, nor are they unless they're going to make a big splash. So what do you do? All Oakland has to do is take a look at San Diego's backup quarterback and Charlie Whitehurst. Okay? The guy has been screwed out of starting jobs ever since he came in the NFL. I think you give this guy a chance and give him a real chance. They didn't do it in San Diego the first time. When he went up to Seattle, Matt Hasselbeck was still holding onto the job because of his name. Then he went back to San Diego to back up Philip Rivers yet again. This guy's not going to demand a lot of money at all. And if he gets the ball for, maybe half a game, he might get an opportunity to where he can show that he can be successful. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be, but he can't do any worse than what's going on over in Oakland. I'm sorry, he can't. But if you're the Oakland Raiders, you're looking at this. You got to find a draft option. But I don't think there's anybody in the draft that you can put and mark them as a franchise quarterback. But if they did grab one that was available, it couldn't hurt the team, and they couldn't do any worse. and they would be lighter in the pocket by doing so. But if I put on the hat in Oakland, okay, I'm talking about Sonny Clark wearing the GM hat over there. I know this. I'm going to tell you right now, I know this league is all about the quarterback. Everybody knows it. And here's exactly what I would do if I was them. I would get on the phone with four teams. Well, one, you don't have to. But when I wrote this, I was on top of it. I wrote this on Monday before it happened. But the first team I get a hold of is the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if there is a buying price for Tony Romo. But there are only a few quarterbacks that you're going to spend money on that you might be able to get away. I don't know if Romo seriously could be gotten or not. However, you got to at least try to get a Tony Romo on your football team. Then after that, I pick up the phone and I call the Chicago Bears. And I try to get Jay Cutler away from them. They're not happy. These are teams. They're not happy with the quarterbacks. San Diego. I tried to get me some Phillip Rivers as well. And when I wrote this on Monday, my last one, the guy was released Tuesday night. So get up on the phone, try to get yourself some Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, they released Ryan Fitzpatrick over in Buffalo. And I'm staying on this. I'm telling you right now, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick becomes an Oakland Raider. And frankly, in the division that he plays in, folks, if you take a look at Buffalo, I wish Buffalo could find some kind of resemblance of the 90s today. I would love to see that team come out of the AFC East. But as long as New England is in the AFC East, that's going to be a problem. As long as the Jets are a team that might decide to be a winning team, that might be a problem. Miami is a surefire, you know, in the next two or three years, fighting and battling for playoff positions. The Buffalo Bills have a snowball chance in hell of getting out of there. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, in reality, is probably a good thing that he moves. You might as well move over to the West, where really you're only dealing with Denver. Because you don't know what you're going to get from San Diego. You don't know what you're going to get from Kansas City. The only thing you know is Peyton Manning's in a Denver uniform. But take away from that. And I'm not saying Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be a savior over in Oakland. But I'm telling you right now, if they want some quarterback with quarterback experience who has somewhat of success, you're on the phone with Ryan Fitzpatrick's agent trying to bring him in. There's going to be some teams fighting for him. But you, if you're the Oakland Raiders, you got to pick it up and move it. But when I looked at the NFL and I thought of available quarterbacks that were out there, those are the only ones that would be gotten. Because when I looked at the NFL, let's just briefly look at it. Tannehill's going nowhere in Miami. Brady's going nowhere. Joe Flacco obviously isn't going anywhere. Andy Dalton isn't going anywhere. Ben Roethlisberger's not going anywhere. Matt Schaub, Luck, either of the Mannings, RG3, Stafford, Rodgers, Ryan, Newton, Breeze, Wilson, or Kaepernick, no, they're going nowhere. So if you're going to pull someone, those are about the only four teams that you could possibly pull from someone. Now, hindsight's always 20/20. But what's Dallas going to do without Tony Romo? That might be a hard one to pull. But talk about a team that is so dissatisfied with their quarterback that if they got the right – and I don't know the personnel. I don't know where the money is. But if I'm Oakland, I'm trying to figure that one out. The Chicago Bears hate Jay Cutler, man. Fans hate him. Fans can't decide whether or not the guy's got stones or whether he's a wuss. And without trying to make anything sound, they can't make up their mind in Chicago. But then again, it's the Chicago Bears. Okay. In San Diego, Phillip Rivers, I don't know. As a franchise, you got to like him. The however in that, though, is what has he done? Is it the personnel? Is it the team? Was it coaching? I don't know. We'll find that out. But the other one was sitting right there in Buffalo. I mean, you can say what you want. Oh, the backup quarterback in my brother put up backup. What about the backup quarterback in New England? Well, first of all, even to this day, I haven't even looked. I don't even know his name, so I'm not even worried about him. I'm telling you right now, in Oakland, you need a guy that at least has got some NFL time, seen FaceTime with some defenders coming right at his face. But how many games has he played in the NFL? Tom Brady's been there. I love the fact that he's learning from Brady like Rodgers did behind Favre, but the Raiders, they have to find someone with real NFL experience. I don't know what could be offered in Oakland to get out there, but if you're the Oakland Raiders, don't you think you have to be a little proactive? Like I said, I think Cutler can be gotten. But since they released Ryan Fitzpatrick, you might have something going on there. And the Bears, it just seems like they're more stuck with Jay Cutler than more so that they want him. Same thing with the Dallas Cowboys and Tony Romo. And you watch, the Chicago Bears are going to draft a quarterback. That's going to happen. Maybe not of the ones that they're talking about as supposedly the ones that are the better ones right now. But they're going to draft a quarterback. I don't know. I hope the Raiders, I really do, I hope the Raiders figure out a way of becoming, because I agree with my brother, the Raiders, when they are relevant, the NFL is even a better product than it already is. And when you look at the Arizona Cardinals, and when you look at that whole situation that's going on there, that is the Oakland Raiders as well. Now, John Cannon, now this is a guy was on the radio back in the 90s in Arizona, sports talk radio, and this is what he says as far as the Raiders. I want you to take a listen because it makes a lot of sense. He says it doesn't matter what they do now. They pulled the plug on an offense that was working because the owners like Darren McFadden, and he can't run with it. He can't run in the offense that they're running. The fact the Raiders, other than McFadden, who averaged 4.5 yards a carry last year they didn't get any consideration because they weren't Darren McFadden. And according to John Cannon, he said Al Davis kneecapped the coach, which he did. We talk about that all the time on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And GM dumping the offensive coordinators and three other coordinators who did nothing other than what they were asked to do. And right now, they would have a hard time firing a good head coach for their football team. John Cannon is right. But they've got a lot of other problems as well. Whether or not it's on the field, whether or not where it's at, that's going to be the question. Oakland Raider fans, do you feel confident in what's going on in Oakland? Are you going to feel okay going into Oakland if you are a football player and ready to go? Are you ready for that? So, a lot of NFL news, and that's going to be covered here in the next week or two here on the College Potato Sports Show, as well as Sports Talk with the guys tomorrow morning. I'll be on with them, listening to them, running with them. Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, we've got a late football game. It's not going to be over until midnight. I won't even be hitting the sack until at least midnight. Some other news. Sports Talk over coffee here with Andre and Couch. I am Couch, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. I'm having my coffee, trying to get my head about myself. Called a baseball game yesterday. By the way, it was a beautiful day. I got sunburnt. I mean, that's one thing about being bald, folks. Yeah, jeez. I look like a beet. Anyway. Now, let's go and let's talk about the things that are being talked about outside of the NFL. Not baseball. I want to go to basketball. Like I said, I'll leave the baseball talk with Andrea. So when Andrea comes on, we'll talk about some baseball on Monday. But let's talk about Kobe Bryant. If you had an opportunity to see the play, whether or not you did, he was in it for a jumper, and he had a defender right in his face on a fadeaway jumper. And this is one of the problems that I have with players. Now, there's a good side and bad side to this, and we're going to talk about this probably on the couch, Sports Talk with the guys. I'm going to force myself to get up because I got to listen to what Peter has to say. And I'm talking about the big dog. I got to hear what he has to say. Kobe Bryant, now, if you get an opportunity to watch it, this is not a dirty play. But Kobe says it's a dirty play. But I want to put it in perspective. I mean, I know Kobe Bryant is a good player. Matter of fact, he's about maybe of one of five in the NBA that I can even sit and watch. The NBA is almost unwatchable. Christ, it's so bad. But I say, who cares what Kobe thinks? I mean, really, when you think about who cares what he thinks? The L.A. Lakers think a lot of him. And I think that's the problem. There's no question Kobe Bryant has a heart of a champion. No question. And like I said, he's about the only watchable player in the NBA. But Kobe Bryant, I'm telling you right now, is so wrong in this. I mean, I played the sport, okay? Now, granted, it wasn't your, you know, all high school player, but I played the game. And one thing they taught you is get a hand in the face. Get a hand in the face. I'm telling you right now, sometimes I hear that in my sleep as my coaches told me, get a hand in their face. Well, here's what happened is that he got a hand in his face. The shot didn't go down. He fell down. He twisted his ankle, which is a risk every time he jumps in the air. And now all of a sudden, he's a dirty player? Jones is a dirty player? Are we serious? Hey, folks, let me just tell you something right now. Just because Kobe says it doesn't mean that it's gold. And that's the problem with Kobe Bryant. I love Kobe Bryant. Like I said, Kobe Bryant, I think I paid money to see him. But just because Kobe says something doesn't make it gold. And that's one of the problems that I have with Kobe Bryant. I mean, he's a whiner, crier, and everything else. But then again, I mean, he's about the only, like I said, I can maybe two hands think of maybe 10 or under of watchable players in the NBA. Kobe, the player was defending your shot, period. He put a hand in your face, period. It wasn't a dirty play at all. And just because Kobe says so doesn't make it so. And if you are the L.A. Lakers, you shut Kobe up. But you're not going to because you're the L.A. Lakers. Talk about an owner on the court. Now, I'm not saying Kobe Bryant is an owner, but my gosh, there are certain owners in the NFL and everything that, you know, claim to be out on the court. Well, when Kobe Bryant can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and say what he wants, when he wants, whatever he wants, as an organization, yes, Kobe Bryant may be your franchise, but you can't let him get away with things like that and let him do or say whatever he wants to. Kobe Bryant needs to shut up and play the game when he can. Now, Kobe Bryant, he is one of these, you can say what you want about Kobe Bryant. And I'm telling you, the consensus across the country was the defender was doing exactly what he meant. Now, the defender was beat. Let's not question that. But only he was trying to do is recover from getting beaten. He was out of position, and it happens. But I'm going to tell you straight out, he didn't intentionally try to hurt him at all. And the fact was, is Kobe, if he says it, it becomes news, and that's the problem. Now, if any other dumpster on the sidelines or any other starter says it, you know, a lot of times they don't even get FaceTime with the media. Who cares? And my brother made a valid point that I'll put out there, is why is it when Kobe plays defense and hustles, and he has a heart of a champion, and when someone else does it, they're a dirty player? I get it, and you're spot on, Fred. My brother, he's spot on. But here's what, and it goes back to the fact that there's only 5 or 10 players in the NBA that are worth watching. It's because there's only 5 or 10 players worth watching. And that's the problem with the NBA. The NBA has lost a lot of it. They've lost a lot of their grandeur. They lost a lot of their popularity. And I'm telling you, the new wave of player, I can't even stand watching. Can't even stand watching. Now, I hate the fact that Kobe has a big ego that's bigger than the game itself, because I would love to like this guy. But the thing is things like this that make him a punk in my eyes. All the crybaby bullshit that this guy puts out on the basketball court each and every night, it's hard to watch. And, it's because I'm Kobe. I'm the next best thing. I'm the next bigger thing. I'm the next Michael Jordan. Oh, I understand. The NBA's got a lot of problems. Now, and I'm not saying that even Kobe is one of those top, but man, when he opens his mouth, and whenever he opens his mouth, the media flock to him. Like he's the only one that is ever going to talk about basketball. I don't know. I've been trying to watch it. I'm telling you right now, I'm watching more hockey than I am the NBA. Why is that, you think? So, you know, as we roll down here on this episode here of Sports Talk Over Coffee here with Couch and Andrea and Couch. You, the news is going to come fast and furious about a Kobe Bryant because he is about the only thing out there worth watching. And here's the thing. I think the media knows it. Now, I may be in the minority here, okay? I know I'm in the minority in a lot of things that I talk about. But it's me going out on the side. But I don't know. I'm not sure what that situation would be. Write that down. So, when you're watching the NBA this weekend, if you're watching it, and I wonder how many people are watching the NBA. But when you watch another sport, why is the – and Big Dog is about the only one that will say this. The NBA is his favorite sport, okay, on the major levels. But I wonder if it really is. I know he loves basketball. And I don't know if he loves college ball. That part I've not talked to him about, but that, we're going to be talking about those kind of things here real soon. But when you think about it, and when you think about the NBA, and you think about the top four, has the – now, I know for a fact that probably hockey won't move up to number three, and I get it. But I understand why people are moving to other sports. I understand why people are watching hockey right now a little bit higher. If you check the ratings, the ratings are really good for hockey right now. So if you get an opportunity, check out some hockey. And if you just can't do without football, head on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show. We'll be talking football. You hear the live play-by-play. Two games this weekend, possibly three. But tonight, the Nebraska Danger, they take on Tri-Cities Fever in Tri-Cities. Indoor Football League, IFL. And then on Sunday, the Texas Revolution on the road to play the Slaughter. So that is it. Anyway, oh, we did it. We got through an hour here on a Friday morning here on Sports Talk Over Coffee. Now, we're going to talk about probably everything I talked about here on Saturday morning on Sports Talk with the guys. If you missed any portion of it or want to get in there, 637-237-2306 is the number on Saturday morning on Sports Talk with the guys. Make sure you get on over there. I'm telling you right now, I do shows. My favorite show is Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So make sure you get on over there and you check them out. So for Andrea, who didn't make it here, I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. And we're out of here. I hope everybody has a great Friday. Check me out tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Couch Potato Sports Show for IFL football. Check me out on Sunday at 2 p.m. for IFL football. We'll see what Saturday brings to it. But until then, I am Sonny Clark. We're out of here. I hope everybody has a great weekend. So I guess 2514 popped in there for a second. But we're out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.